It's the Kim Monson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
I find that it takes work to get your brain around these ideas, and it takes work to engage in these conversations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
With what is happening down at the State House, I used to think that it was above my pay grade to read the legislation, and it's not.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
I see big danger in as much as we will be giving an unelected bureaucrat the power to make rules about what we inject into our body.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the Kim Monson Show. I am Kim Monson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Monson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmonson.com as well. All of our recaps, podcasts are there. A lot of great information. And at this point, go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for listening. I so appreciate each and every one of you. You're each treasured. You're valued. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. And thank you to this great team that I get to work with, and that is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. We will be talking with our researcher, Patty Kurgan, here in just a couple of minutes. She is continuing this week and next week to give us an update on what is happening with the presidential election in each of these battleground states. So we'll get to Patty here in just a moment. Dr. Jill Vecchio will be weighing in the second segment regarding vaccinations of the COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus. Third segment, we'll be talking with Caleb Kruckenberg, and this is going to be regarding property rights. It's very interesting. He is he's actually the litigation counsel for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. And you won't want to miss this, because if we don't have economic freedom, if we don't have our civil rights, then what do we have? So that'll be a great conversation as well. And of course, we'll talk to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management, and Karen Levine, award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. Walter Williams passed on yesterday. You know him. He is syndicated columnist, author, economist, a great defender of free market capitalism, criticizes the welfare state, and he died yesterday. He's 84 years old. He's a distinguished professor of economics at George Mason University, an occasional guest on the Rush Limbaugh Show. And Mark Levin said that I think Walter Williams was his very first guest. And Walter Williams taught his class on Tuesday, and he passed on yesterday. So rest in peace, Walter Williams. Truly, truly a great man. Our quote for today, we are going to go to, get everything here, Ludwig von Mises. He was an Austrian school economist, historian, logician, and sociologist. He wrote and lectured extensively on the societal contributions of classical liberalism. And he was born in 1881. He died in 1973. And he said, the idea that political freedom can be preserved in the absence of economic freedom and vice versa is an illusion. Political freedom is the corollary of economic freedom. And when we see government closing down all of these different businesses, and then, of course, the Colorado legislature met in a special session to basically do all kinds of government programs instead of trying to figure out how to get these businesses open. And we will be going through that probably next week. We've got such full shows right now, but we'll go through what they put together. But it basically, socialism, my friends, is not free stuff. Socialism is government is in control of everything. And ultimately, they will have to have workers. Otherwise, there's no production. And so we'll talk about what happened in the Colorado legislature. I think that's going to be next Tuesday or Wednesday. On the line with me is Patty Kurgan. She is a researcher. She is an author. She's a contributing author to the book Unmasked 2020. Be sure and check that out. And she is going through and keeping an eye on what is happening in each of these battleground states. Patty Kurgan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
So what happened yesterday, Patty Kurgan?
Well, before we get into this, I just want to make a quick comment about the special session that they had up at the Capitol.
Okay.
I am appalled that all they're doing is handing out money to the small businesses, and the money is a very small amount. It really won't do much for the businesses. We're still going to see rapid closing. What business owners want, And we've even heard from the workers. Summit County had a protest last week or the week before, and the workers were like, we don't want government money. We want our jobs. They have to open up the state. So I just wanted to put that in there.
Well, and on that, Patty, as we look at it, for example, it says it covers expenses for, let me see here. It was a whole bunch of different. They did have some money for small business, but money for child care, housing aid, broadband, food insecurity, utilities assistance, and public health response. They have caused this problem, and now they want to come in, and they're going to pick who gets the money and who doesn't. As you say, let's get these businesses opened up. And one other thing that Steve and I were talking about when we were doing our pre-call as I was driving in is that Denver is continuing to move forward on their forced minimum wage, even Correct. As these businesses are struggling. And government is not the answer, my friends. And we know that, and we're seeing that. But Patty, let's get over here to all this research that you've done.
Okay, well, things are still breaking. And we had talked about Michigan and the testimony that was being given by many people. We've talked about Matt Brainerd, B-R-A-Y-N-A-R-D. He has put his complete testimony up on YouTube. I suggest that people go and look at it. You can understand more about what he's talking about with Dominion and how they can go on the back end and with the software change things, as well as Epic Times, which is really one of my main sources when I'm looking at all this material, because mainline media refuses to expose any of this fraud. They have a timeline up on their website, and it goes through with the most recent and down through the dates, and it just gives you a complete status of all the events that are going on in the states that have been compromised. It's a great resource. I just wanted to send our listeners there. The big news story yesterday was that Trump came out and he essentially said that our electoral system is under coordinated assault and siege. He did put up a video on social media and he said his job as president is to defend the laws and constitution of the United States, and that he's determined to protect the election system, which he said is under coordinated assault and siege. Using the pandemic as a pretext, he said Democratic officials and judges drastically changed election procedures in the months and weeks leading up to the election in apparent violation of the Constitution. Judges in multiple states have ruled the changes likely violated the Constitution, including in Minnesota and Pennsylvania. Secretaries of state in those two states were ordered to separate late arriving ballots while the cases are being decided. Many voters in Pennsylvania received two ballots in the mail, while others received ballots from which they never applied. Voter rolls across the nation include people who are dead, they've moved away, or are non-citizens. Dozens of counties have more registered voters on the rolls than they have voting-age citizens, including 67 counties in Michigan. So he's very in tune with what's going on, which is good, and he's not going to give up. He's really going out there to protect the legal vote of every American citizen that took place on Election Day. Well, I shouldn't say Election Day, because we all know it became days and weeks, and now we're in the months, mm-hmm. which is not the way that we've been set up. So I'm going to skip over here to Georgia. There was a piece that came out, and it's with American Lookout, and they're keeping a close eye as to what's going on in Georgia. And here we go again. A voter registration group, which was started by failed Georgia governor candidate Stacey Abrams, is now already under investigation for fraud. Town Hall reports voter registration group affiliated with Raphael Warnock under investigation for alleged fraud. The New Georgia Project, a voter registration group formerly headed by the candidate Warnock, is under investigation for alleged fraud. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger said on Monday. The group is thought to have sent mail-in ballots to non-residents. The group was founded by failed gubernatorial Abrams, but Warnock served as the CEO until February. The group categorizes itself as a nonpartisan effort to register and civilly engage Georgians. Raffensperger said that the New Georgia Project is one of the three interest groups under investigation for suspicions of election impropriety. So we just have to keep our eye on this. And people in Georgia, I beg them to be very proactive and make sure that their vote will truly count in the Senate for these senators. It's very important to the rest of the America to make sure that, you know, we have legal standing on everything. So our attention today will be turned to Nevada. They're having a hearing there. There's been all sorts of irregularities reported there as well. A lawyer for President Donald Trump's campaign said that the team is preparing to file a lawsuit alleging that 40,000 people voted twice in Nevada, which, if true, could potentially erase Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's lead. Trump attorney Jesse Binnell, speaking to Fox News yesterday, said that they found evidence of real voter fraud, including thousands and thousands of instances in Nevada that will be submitted to a court in the Silver State. In another instance, data scientist Dorothy Morgan, this is a new name for us, said there was an inexplicable jump in voter registrations with unusual addresses and incomplete information. In an affidavit, Morgan said she spotted a historically strange increase in voter registrations missing the sex and age of the voter, as well as registrations where casinos and RV parks were provided as their home or mailing addresses. And this was much of Clark County, where Las Vegas resides. Mm-hmm. Also in Nevada, there's the Nevada Native Vote Project, and they posted photos on Facebook on Election Day of smiling voters holding $25 gift cards after handing over their ballots. We all know that it's against the U.S. Criminal Code, where you can't be paid for your vote. So this will be an issue in Nevada. I know.
It's astounding. It's absolutely astounding, Patty.
It is, and it doesn't stop. They actually have in Michigan, Arizona, Washington, Idaho, Texas, and Ohio, where they're showing that people were paid with gift cards when they were done voting.
And even so, with all of this, Patty, Americans stepped up, and Donald Trump received the most votes of any presidential candidate ever in the history of America. And the thought that Joe Biden would actually get more votes than him, it's beyond reason, it's beyond common sense. And I think those fraudsters did not realize the American people were going to step up like they did. And then that's why they had to do the big vote dumps on the night on election night. And that's kind of, I think, what started to peel the layer off on the veil on all this. And now that we're opening this package up, Patty, I mean, you're mentioning states we didn't even think about.
Oh, absolutely. Again, you had your guest yesterday. I've heard about Jeffco, and they're not sure. They're questioning the results of the election here in Colorado. So, and I'm from Illinois, Chicago.
Where you vote early and vote often, right?
Often, right. And even when you're dead.
Yeah. Okay, Patty, you want to finish up?
I just have one. Okay, yeah. I have one final comment. There's a representative in Alabama. His name is Mo Brooks, and he has confirmed that he's planning to challenge the Electoral College's votes when Congress certifies the presidential election on January 6th during the joint session. And he says that Congress has the absolute right to reject the submitted Electoral College votes of any state, which we believe has such a shady election system that you can't trust the election results that those states are submitting to us, that they're suspect.
Wow, so, this is not
so we
over.
Still have, this is not over.
Nope. This is not over. And hardly anybody out there is reporting it. And we even have commentators, radio show hosts that we would think that would want to have the protect the integrity of this election are saying that Donald Trump should concede. We are not. We want to get to the truth. And Patty, I thank you so much for the great research that you're doing. Now, you will be giving us an update again tomorrow morning as you are watching all this. I so appreciate that, Patty Kurgan. You are a great researcher, a great author, and thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
You bet. Before we go to break, one of my great sponsors, and go to my website and do business with these people. I highly endorse each and every one of them. Castlegate Knife and Tool is located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. I'd recommend to go out and do some Christmas shopping there. They have all kinds of beautiful kitchen knife sets. They have knives for collectors, sportsmen, they're located, like I said, right in Sedalia, Colorado. They've got a great website as well. It's all updated. It's castlegate.com, and I'd recommend that you put them as one of your places you're going to do some of your Christmas shopping. So we're going to go to break. When you come back, we'll talk with Dr. Jill Vecchio. I want to find out what she has to say about the COVID-19 Wuhan virus vaccine.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All of the recaps and podcasts of the past shows are there, as well as our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts. And our most recent op-eds as well. There's several great podcasts that I've done with Dr. Jill Vecchio. She really can look into data. She can look into issues and get right to the heart of the matter on that. And she is one of the few people in America that actually read the complete Obamacare legislation. And she's an expert on healthcare policy. Dr. Jill Vecchio, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Kim. Hope you're well.
So far, so good, Jill.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of talk out there about the COVID-19 Wuhan China virus vaccine, and producer Steve had a great question. So I'm going to toss it over to him for the question.
Well, we live in an age and where a talk radio is big, and one of the most famous people in that genre has coined the phrase low information voter. And it's not a slam. It's not an insult. In my mind, it's basically true. I get the picture that there's going to be a lot of people out there. They have a little bit of info that the vaccine is coming, and they think that the vaccine is going to eradicate the virus and it'll just magically somehow go away. I just don't find that to be true with my understanding. And I just want you to put it out there. What's the vaccine going to do?
Think of COVID-19 as like the flu. So if you get a flu vaccine, how many times even that same season do you get the flu? You get a flu vaccine, and then the flu virus changes or mutates over time, and that because it's an RNA virus. So this is it's RNA instead of DNA. That being said, COVID is also an RNA virus, which means that they are very susceptible to mutation. So even if you get a vaccine this year or whenever it comes out, it may or may not protect you from all potentials. There's a study out that I want to talk about in a minute that will explain what I'm going to say. But, they say 95% effectiveness. That would be the first vaccine in years and years and years that has that, especially against an RNA virus. I don't think there is such a thing because the RNA viruses mutate all the time. And I think we've already seen that this coronavirus has already changed drastically in how it's affecting our population since it first came.
How
so? We can talk about some of that in a minute,
okay,
too.
Okay.
So it's already changing. So what part of, is every, and every vaccine has a little bit different approach to it. There are five vaccines in phase 3 or getting ready for phase 3 clinical trials where they tested on a large population of people that's being tested around the world. All the companies that are making these vaccines are
are running trials in multiple countries. So there are five that are doing trials in the U.S. right now, five companies, and each one has a little bit different approach to how their what their vaccine is going to recognize. Like, does it recognize your eyes, your hair, your teeth, your voice? You know what I mean? Each one of the vaccines will recognize a different part of the virus and act in a potentially different way to give you antibodies to the virus. And then the antibodies should be long-lasting. They should be, but they don't know for sure what the antibody response will be and all that stuff. So there are so many question marks, so much variation in the vaccines themselves that there's never going to be a guarantee that you will have permanent immunity to COVID-19 because it's going to change all the time. Not if it changes, it's going to change because that's what it does.
Well, Jill, I find it almost beyond belief. I know that Trump has really tried to fast track, I can't remember what they call it now, but to fast track this vaccine. And if people want to take the vaccine, great. I think it should be a free market kind of thing. I'm concerned about the force that could be coming down. Joe Biden said he's going to have a forced mask mandate throughout the country. And I was talking with Priscilla Ron yesterday. She's a teacher, former principal. And we were talking about masking. And all of a sudden, I realized we always talk about clean air. But now with these masks, everybody wearing masks 8-10 hours a day, not me, but people doing that, you're breathing back in toxins. Instead, you're trying to expel things out of your body, and now you're breathing things back in, and so it's not like it's clean air. And anyway, I guess what's your thoughts on that, Jill?
Well, plus people are reusing their masks over and over and over again. You know, you're not washing your mask or getting a new mask every day or every few hours. So you're whatever toxin you may have had in there, you're breathing, you're not breathing it just in from one day or a few minutes ago. You're breathing it in over days or weeks. Most people are. I mean, you see some of these masks, they are pretty gamey looking, you know? So the whole mask thing, and it's whatever makes people feel better. It should be it should be a personal choice. I don't need to go over that again, but can I talk about this one new study? I just found it this morning.
Yes, absolutely.
It's from November 27th, so it is brand new. And my question has been for a long time, since COVID-19, which is a coronavirus strain, coronavirus also is responsible for the common cold. We've talked about that mm-hmm. many times. Coronavirus, most of the time it's a common cold. SARS-1 and now COVID-19, which is SARS-2, are more virulent varieties.
Okay.
The basic coronavirus causes the cold. So the question has always been in my mind, how much cross-reactivity? In other words, to what extent does COVID-19 have parts of it that anybody's body could recognize and say, hold on, I've seen you before? Like, you look at somebody's hair, you look at their eyes, you hear their voice, and you kind of go, I know who that is. And your body does the same thing. You have little T cells running around that say, hold on, I've seen you. I've seen that part. I've seen something that looks just like that before. Let me make antibodies to it. So and that explains, this article talks about how it's very technical. So, good luck reading it. But the basis of it is, mm-hmm. and I sent it to you to put on your website if people want the reference.
Okay.
But the bottom line is, the reason that COVID-19 has such a variation in how it affects different people could easily be, and they did testing on this and showed that this is a very viable explanation, and it's probable, actually. Come on, it just makes common sense. The reason it's not affecting certain populations nearly as badly, and some people have no symptoms or mild symptoms, whatever, and some people are very sick, is because a huge portion of our population has already been exposed to, and their bodies have made antibodies, and therefore their T cells remember, they recognize the COVID virus so that they don't get sick. So their body makes antibodies and they don't get sick because they've already been exposed to enough of the coronavirus you know, what it looks like, that they're immune to it. They already have the antibodies.
That's so
Whereas
interesting.
Other people haven't generated those antibodies, or they didn't do it well enough, and they're the ones that are going to get really sick.
That's really interesting, because last night, I think, on Tucker Carlson, I think that there was a report that finally the CDC had tested some blood samples that had been taken, I think, in early December in 2019, and there were COVID antibodies in those blood samples. And I'm like, this is interesting. And Tucker is saying we've been lied to. Quick comment on that, Jill. We always run out of time. But what's your quick comment on that? Kind of your final thought.
Well, exactly. Okay, so let's look at all the testing, all of the, a second wave, a third wave. Is that true? How much cross-reactivity is there in the tests themselves? So when you say there are all these tests that are positive, are they really corona COVID-19 infections, or is there cross-reactivity between all these other coronaviruses that have been around for years, hundreds of years? How many of those tests also detect prior exposure to the cold?
Aha. Uh-huh. Now, one other thing, Jill, I'd written it down on my calendar that yesterday was the spike that they said that we were going to have in Colorado. And I'm looking at the numbers and I don't really see a spike now. What may happen then is your health departments may start to come in and classify deaths at certain COVID-19. I'm getting super cynical on all of this, but I don't see a spike in those numbers, Jill.
No. And part of Colorado's, part of the way they're handling it through the public health department is because they came up with a model. Remember how bad the models were with Fauci, right, in the CDC. So Colorado came up with its own model, working with a bunch of doctors. Well, if this happens, they always act on a bunch of assumptions, which are usually horribly wrong assumptions. So they're acting on the model. So they keep referring back to the model. And I looked on the Colorado.gov website. No, there's not a specific spike. And they are combining, all of them, CDC and Colorado are combining symptomatic cases. It's not COVID-19 test proven. And they're including influenza-like illness, somebody who has flu-like symptoms with COVID-like symptoms. And they're including shortness of breath and pneumonia.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Shortness of breath, it could be an anxiety attack. It could be a heart attack. It could be an asthma attack. You could have COPD that's worsening. They can include those in that those cases in those numbers. And they can include pneumonia, which the majority of the time has nothing to do with COVID or the flu. The vast majority of the time, pneumonia comes from, you know, sitting around and not taking deep breaths, mm-hmm. people with underlying lung conditions. It's ridiculous to include all of those symptoms under COVID-19 and then tell me that there's a spike during flu season, and gee, I wonder why.
Yes.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Jill, this is such great information. And, of course, one other comment on pneumonia. I'm thinking of all the people that have to sit outside if they're going to go to a restaurant to try to keep them in business, or a bar or a tavern, just the pneumonia they're going to catch by sitting outside during December in Colorado. Dr. Jill Vecchio, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Okay, take care.
Okay. Jason McBride, we're talking COVID-19 vaccine, and I know the market likes it a lot. What's your thoughts today?
Well, you know, I wish Dr. Jill was still on. I was going to ask her, whatever happened to SARS? Because that was a coronavirus, wasn't it, Kim?
Well, I think it was. You want me to see if Steve can get her back on the line to ask her that question?
Yeah, you could ask her some other
time. Okay, we'll do that.
I'm just ruminating, but, you know, has that virus completely disappeared? Because I haven't heard about anybody getting that for, at least 10 years or since it initially happened. Have you?
I haven't. And we'll save that question then for her for next Thursday. How's that?
Well, yeah, that sounds fine. And, I had another thought, too, since everybody's apparently going to be required to wear masks everywhere all the time for the rest of their lives. We don't need the EPA to deal with anything having to do with clean air anymore.
You nailed it.
We don't need any clean air regulations ever again.
You nailed it, Jason McBride.
Yeah.
You got it.
Just change your mask at least twice a year like you do your air furnace filter.
Yeah. Actually, I think, yeah. Ugh. Hey, as we're getting in, I cannot believe that it's December 3rd. I said to Steve this morning, it seems like it was Monday morning, just yesterday. I mean, it's just going so quickly. And these Roth IRAs, I was thinking a lot about it yesterday. I pray that President Trump will be our next president, that will win his reelection. But if not, I think that people do need to be taking some defensive positions. And this Roth IRA is you pay the taxes now, right? And then when you take the money out, it will be tax-free, correct?
Well, yeah, Kim. Now, I don't know if saying pay the taxes now is the best way to say it. I'm not trying to be a snob or correct you on the air, but
it's okay.
You don't have to pay a tax when you put money into a Roth IRA. You just don't get a tax deduction.
Okay.
So in a way, it's correct. You pay the taxes on the income you received that you decide to put into a Roth instead of getting a tax deduction. But I've had people that have the idea that when you put money into a Roth, you pay extra taxes. So I just wanted to make sure we didn't accidentally put that out there.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. And I would highly recommend that people sit down with you between now and the end of the year and just strategize on that, because every dime that you don't have to pay taxes is a dime that's in your pocket. And a discovery session would be an excellent idea, Jason McBride.
I think it would be. People can set that up. We are open for business. You can come in and see us. Our number's 303-694-1600. That's 303-694-1600, Kim.
Okay, Jason, I would recommend people give you a call. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll talk with Karen Levine and also Caleb Kruckenberg, so stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. We greatly appreciate that. On the line with me is Karen Levine. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And I've known Karen for a long time. If I tell you how long we've known each other, you'll start to figure out how old we are. We don't want to tell you that. Hey, Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim.
What is happening out there in the real estate industry from a policy standpoint regarding what's happening with the presidential election?
Well, there's a couple of things that have been highlighted by the National Association of Realtors through our annual conference, which took place a couple weeks back. And there's a couple of things I wanted to make your listeners aware of, that if the administration is determined that it will be Biden, he has put the 1031 exchange, which is a tax-saving vehicle, under threat. And the National Association of Realtors is very aware of that. It's on our radar. And certainly we will be lobbying against that happening. But what does that mean to the property owner? Consumers have utilized real estate as an investment vehicle over the years. And if you have invested in real estate, there's this opportunity that you can exchange out of what you currently own as an investment into another like-kind property. And you do that to delay the payment of capital gains. And sometimes you'll have a rental unit and you run the numbers and it makes more sense to take your equity out, reinvest it in a larger property, a more expensive property, one that will yield you more income, and you use the 1031 exchange vehicle. So we are aware that that is something that the Biden administration has noted that they want to absolve.
Wow.
And I don't have the exact financial impact of that. There is numbers that NAR has provided for us, but I didn't have those available this morning. But it is significant of how it would affect property owners that own investment property. And so you were talking with Jason this morning about defensive moves. And one thing we are seeing or recommending is if people have investment properties, it's a very strong seller's market in the metropolitan area, really throughout the state and actually throughout the United States, is to think about selling that property and take the tax consequence now because of the Trump tax plan that is in place. Capital gains taxes are probably the lowest they will ever be because Biden is also looking at raising the capital gains rate. So it's kind of a no-win proposal in that arena.
Well, I surely hope that President Trump is victorious in this because, as we can see, the real policies hurt everyday people that are trying to create wealth and take care of themselves. So, Karen, we're at December 3rd. People should reach out right now just to talk with you about a strategy on this, correct?
Most definitely. And, you know, we can look at what the pros and cons of their options are and, there's not necessarily an urgency, but there's an urgency. So we don't want people to find themselves, as we would say, with their pants down. We want them to be knowledgeable and prepared. So certainly I would encourage them to pick up the phone. Give me a call at 303-877-7516, and we can just talk about their personal situation with their investment properties and what might be a good strategy for them.
Knowledge is power, and I would recommend people give you a call, Karen Levine, at 303-877-7516. You are a valued partner of the show. I greatly appreciate it, and we will talk to you next week.
That sounds great, Kim. Thank you.
Okay. And jumping over here, I'm so excited to talk with Caleb Kruckenberg, and he is the litigation counsel for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. And it's nice to know that somebody's out there caring about our civil liberties. Caleb Kruckenberg, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Is this a new organization?
Yeah, we are. And, you know, obviously our name has the word new in it. You know, we've been around for the last couple of years. And, you know, we are dedicated to pushing back against the administrative state. And, you know, we have kind of a unique focus among nonprofit organizations where, you know, we sue the administration, we sue administrative agencies when they are violating people's civil liberties and they're taking, action that they shouldn't be taking, that should be taken by the legislature or by judges. And, you know, we're founded with this idea that modern government is, you know, something that the founders very specifically guarded against, and they saw the administrative state coming and they tried to stop it. And unfortunately it's really grown, you know, in particularly in the last 50 years.
Okay, Caleb, I served for 4 years on city council of my town, and I realized that the administrative state is huge. People talk about term limits all the time, and I'm not sure that I'm sold on term limits because I really think everyday people have a civic responsibility to go to the ballot box, and that is where term limits are supposed to be. But even if we have term limits, I was at a meeting, and a bureaucrat basically said to a whole bunch of us elected representatives that I'll be here long after you guys are gone. And so now you have elected representatives that they're up for election on a regular basis. They have to be thinking about that. They're accountable to the people. But yet you have these bureaucrats that are making six-figure salaries plus benefits, and it's pretty difficult to get rid of them. So I'm not sure I'm so supportive of term limits until we figure out something to do about all these bureaucrats over here, Caleb.
I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, unfortunately what's happened is government, you know, the legislature and the executive branch, they've really outsourced so much of actual governance to administrative agencies. And you're right, they're career bureaucrats in the agencies, and they're really the ones who are pushing policy. They're in some cases writing the laws. They're forcing judges to interpret the laws in certain ways. And I mean, they're really the ones who are running the show, and that's not the way it should be. And that's what my organization is really fighting against.
It seems like there would be a lot of people that would be reaching out to you for help on this, because the administrative state, what we see going on, the bar owner in Staten Island who just wanted to keep his business open was arrested. This is astounding to me, Caleb.
It is. And, you know, needless to say, we've been pretty busy over the last 6 to 9 months, because, you know, really what we've seen throughout, you know, this last year is executive actors like governors and administrative agencies and public health agencies, they've all decided that they have the solution and they know better than anybody else. And they've been doing all sorts of action, not through normal processes, not through the legislature, that they think is better for public health. And they're just doing whatever they want to do in the name of, you know, an emergency. But it doesn't make it right. And, you know, we're all living under these sort of draconian, you know, restrictions because of it.
Well, what we've seen, Caleb, with everyday people's, their civil rights, the Bill of Rights, the right to free speech. And I had a situation where some people said, hey, we just need to sit down and agree that we're not going to talk about politics. And at that point, I realized that they are asking me to self-censor and take away my freedom of speech. So that is something more subtle on a individual basis, but yet we are seeing bureaucrats that are through these health departments really weaponizing these health departments against everyday people, taking away our civil liberties. I mean we're at a point here in America, Caleb, that I can't believe that we're at right now.
I think that's right. And what we've also seen, I think, is a lot of these administrative agencies are opportunistic because they always want to take more power for themselves. You know, that's kind of unfortunately, it's a characteristic of human nature. But, you know, the agencies, they have directions and they sort of see an opportunity. They think, you know, we can push our policy goals, what we think is that bureaucrats in the office, and we're going to use this opportunity, and we're going to do whatever we think is best for people. You know, and you're definitely seeing that with the CDC. You know, that's some litigation that I'm involved in. You know, the CDC has decided that they know better than state governments how to have housing policy, and you know, they've issued a nationwide eviction moratorium. As a public health organization, because they just have decided as a matter of policy that's what they want to do.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we come back from break. I'm talking with Caleb Kruckenberg, and he is litigation counsel for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. A point I wanted to make, though, is you said that politicians have elected, and they're supposed to be elected representatives, but they're politicians, and they have abdicated, you said outsourced, I'm going to say abdicated their responsibility to the voters, and they've pushed it over on these different boards and commissions and organizations so that they can hide behind those decisions over there and say, well, the CDC made that, or the Colorado Department of Health and Environment made that decision. And then they don't have to be responsible for it. And then they then think that they don't have to answer to the voters those hard questions that they have. And that is how we've gotten ourselves to this point. Now, I thought here in Colorado, I'm going to take a look at the piece of legislation that had given all this power to the CDPHE. And it's called Article 25. It's now over 1,000 pages long. That's much longer than the Constitution of the United States of America. So, Caleb, let's go to break. When we come back, you've got a specific example that we want to hear about. Before we do that, though, one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. They're located right here in Colorado. In Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and Colorado Springs. They do have patios that are open. They have heaters. So I'm actually going to have a meeting on Saturday with some people outside. But, you know, each of us needs to step forward and support these businesses here in Colorado. We've had so many restaurants and bars that have closed because of the draconian rules that Governor Polis and the politicians and bureaucrats and interested parties have put on us. So let's make sure that we try to keep our businesses in business. Go to Hooters Colorado for more information. They have all kinds of to-go specials. We will be right back with Caleb Kruckenberg.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, kimmunson.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the line with me is Caleb Kruckenberg. He is litigation counsel for the New Civil Liberties Alliance. And Caleb, you had your publicist had sent this over that Rick Brown had invested in some rental property. And I put in our promo, he had invested in that to provide shelter for his tenants and to provide income for himself and his family. But now the tenant is not paying the rent. And the CDC says that if Rick evicts this delinquent tenant, that he could face up to $100,000 in fines and a year in prison. But I imagine if he happens to have a mortgage on that property, he's still having to pay that. The CDC, look, I just was astounded when I saw what could happen to Rick Brown. Caleb?
That's right. And, you know, Rick is bought some properties as his retirement nest egg. And, you know, what he did is he bought just a few properties in Winchester, Virginia to rent out to other people. And, you know, he's not really making a lot of money on each property. His idea is that he's going to rent them out for a few years and then sell them, and that's going to be his retirement income. But he has a tenant that stopped paying in March, and she hasn't paid him a cent in rent since then. And because of the pandemic, the CDC declared back in September that if he goes to Virginia State Court and does the normal process and gets an eviction order, then he's a federal criminal, because the CDC said that no one is allowed to use anywhere in the country, no one is allowed to use their state court system to evict a tenant for not paying their rent. But if he, stops providing housing, if he turns the water off, if he doesn't even mow the lawn, his tenant can sue him for not providing, safe and habitable housing. And that's okay still, according to the CDC.
Okay, Caleb, we've got to push back on this, and that's what you're doing, right?
That's right. So we filed a lawsuit against the CDC because, it's not the CDC's place to tell states what their laws are allowed to say. And, this is a classic example, I was talking about it earlier, of an agency that, they have a direction from Congress to do certain things to protect public health. And they're using this opportunity now to push back, and they want to do more, and they want to set housing policy. And, the statute that Congress passed that CDC is invoking gives the CDC authority in certain circumstances to do things like quarantine livestock and, impound goods when they come into the country if they're diseased. And the CDC is interpreting that statute to say, actually, we can do literally anything we can think of as long as we can argue that it might protect public health. And what they said basically is if you evict somebody, it potentially could spread coronavirus. They're staking out this really aggressive, really shocking position. And what they're really trying to do is they're pushing their political agenda.
What you are doing is so important. I'm sitting here thinking, I know a number of people that could use you. Are you still taking on new cases if people can they reach you? Where are you at on that, Caleb? Because I've got to think there's thousands and thousands of business owners that would love to have you represent them.
Yeah, absolutely. So the easiest way to get in touch with us is to go to our website. It's nclalegal.org. And, you can learn about all of our cases. You can learn about this case. Like I said, we sued the CDC. We are fighting this eviction order because it's wrong. But we're involved in a lot of other litigation. And we've been involved in a ton of litigation this year because this is not the only example, obviously. And so go to our website. You can contact us. I take phone calls every single day from people who are really the victims of this kind of administrative overreach.
And then the other thing, Caleb, is I've said with this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption that one of the silver linings on this is the veil is off on this big administrative state and this overreach of how they want to control our lives. Now, we are at a point here with the presidential election. If it goes one way, I see you're going to be even busier. And if it goes, and that would be if Joe Biden would become president. If President Trump is reelected and we get through all of these fraud challenges and through all these different states regarding voter integrity, I see that you still will be very busy to push back on this administrative state because they're not going to go quietly into the night. What's your final thoughts on this, Caleb?
Well, this is not a problem that's going away anytime soon. And what we've seen time and again is the bureaucrats stay in the offices between administrations. And, obviously if it's a President Biden administration, we're going to be busy, but we're always busy because the agencies, they don't really have anyone in control of them. And so they're going to violate rights all the time. And that's why we exist. I mean, we're pushing back. We sue them in courts across the country. And, we're optimistic, but it's going to be a fight.
Well, and what can everyday people do? And I think they need to actually start to be more responsible in who they vote for. But what's your thoughts on that, Caleb?
Well, I think part of it is, we have to change the conversation, and people have to realize that, you vote people in and they're not really the ones running the show. And I think we have to be more careful and we have to be more mindful about the people we elect. But we really have to start you know, realizing who's running the show here. And, you know, my organization, we think litigation is the best avenue for change, but, you know, it comes at all levels. It comes from the legislatures. It comes from, you know, lobbying your congressman, and it really just comes from education. Because a lot of people, I don't think, understand the nature of the problem.
And that's why we do this show, Caleb Kruckenberg. I so appreciate you joining us today. And that website is nclalegal.org, nclalegal.org. Let's stay in touch. I'd love to have you back on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
And our quote for today is from Ludwig von Mises. He said, "The so-called liberals of today have the very popular idea that freedom of speech, of thought, of the press, freedom of religion, freedom from imprisonment without trial, that all these freedoms can be preserved in the absence of what is called economic freedom. They do not realize that in a system where there is no market, where the government directs everything, all those freedoms are illusory, even if they are made into laws and written up in constitutions." Wow. My friends, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you. God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce, through the rain and lightning, warm.